Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, giants fall, giant walls. Giants fall, giant walls. Why don't you put your Bible down and lift up your voice to heaven? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. I pray that you would move in this place in a mighty way. Touch every heart, every family, every mind. I pray that you would help us and strengthen us. Come on, one more time before you're seated. Why don't you give God a hand clap of praise in the house of God? God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of God today. Both of these conflicts that we have read about in these two passages of Scripture center upon an important theme in the Word of God. Both of these conflicts have the same embedded reality, knowledge, understanding in them. There is an understanding that we see if we follow the people of God in every story in the Word of God. And that is that God has called His people to walk in dominion. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, God has called you to walk in dominion and in power. And through the progressive conquest of the people of God, we see the forward marching of the plan of God. We see that God's kingdom is being brought into the earth, and that is the will of God. Every day of your life, it's the will of God. I know sometimes there are circumstances that happen in our lives that are less than ideal. And many times, if we're looking at our lives through the natural lens, we might qualify or we might make an exception to this. But it is the will of God that we walk in dominion and power and in authority. And that is the embedded knowledge in these two stories. That is what God is causing to unfold for the people of God. And that is what Jesus told his disciples in the Gospels when the Bible tells us that he laid hands on them and he had already trained them for 3 years. He called them away from their father's ships. He called them away from the familiar, out into the deep of the things of God. And he commissioned them. He laid his hands on them at one point and he sent them out two by two. And they went out preaching the kingdom of God. And I just want to stop and qualify today and tell you that if you'll preach the kingdom of God, things will happen. I'm just telling you, if you will buy into the idea of the kingdom of God coming in your life, the very thing you want God to do, the thing you haven't seen happen yet, if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these other things will be added unto you. I'm telling you, everything you want to see happen in your life is going to come about when you begin to get busy about the kingdom of God. They go out and they begin to preach the gospel. They begin to preach that Messiah has come. They begin to preach that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. And as they are preaching the Word of God, miracles and signs and wonders started happening in their ministries. I'm telling you, even today, it is still the will of God that these signs are going to follow them that believe. I'm telling you, when we begin to preach the gospel, we believe that on a sleepy Sunday morning, blind eyes can be open. I'm telling somebody here today, it is the will of God for deaf ears to be unstopped today. It is the will of God for the dead to be raised to life again. It is the will of God for broken dreams to be resurrected here today. That is why we are here. We have come preaching the kingdom of God. And they come back to Jesus and they rejoice and they're excited and they're celebratory because they say, my God in heaven, when we went out to preach in your name, that even the demons are subject to us by your name. And he said, don't just rejoice that the demons are subject to you by my name, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. There is an embedded knowledge that we understand that even though we're preaching the kingdom of God here, and even though we're preaching the kingdom of God now, there is a reality that's beyond the finite world. If you could see the world above, or you could see the world beyond, there is a life after this life. There is a reality. I'm telling you, I've come to preach to a church today to tell you, all of your hope is not here today. All of your celebration is not here today. All of your exuberance is not here today. But there is a reality
reality that's on the other side. As soon as you step across the portal between life and the other side, there is a reality that's waiting you. That is eternity. He said, while you're doing ministry here, don't forget that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. While you're casting out devils here, don't forget there's a place called heaven. There's a place that has walls of jasper and streets paved. I'm telling you, you gotta have this knowledge, because when you're dealing with life, sometimes life knocks you off course, but you've gotta remember, I'm going to heaven. I'm gonna be with him in eternity. I'm not just rejoicing that the demons are subject to me here, but I'm rejoicing today about heaven. I'm telling you, if you're a backslider in the house of God, you need to understand that there is an eternity. And yes, it is appointed unto man once to die, and the end is going to be the judgment. And if you don't get your life right with God, there is a place called hell. But if you are faithful to the word of God and faithful to the plan of God, there's a place called heaven. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you might be also. Anybody thankful for a message about heaven? Anybody thankful that he's prepared a place for us? Praise God, praise God. But he told them, he said, while you were preaching, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Now, there are some people believe he's speaking of a past event, the event where Satan fell officially from heaven. But there are others who believe there that he's speaking. I actually think he's speaking about both. Because I think the spirit on the inside of him had the omniscience of God, and he could look back into eternity past and see a moment where Satan fell from heaven. But I think he was also telling them, boys, you couldn't see it with the natural eye, but when you were preaching the gospel, when you were preaching the coming of the kingdom of God, while you were preaching, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the heaven. While you were doing the work of ministry, Satan was falling. It's the already but not yet, the kingdom that is but is not in its fullness yet. I just want to tell you today that when we came into the house of God, we came singing and rejoicing. When we were praying before the service, we were attacking the kingdom of darkness, and you couldn't see it with the natural eye, but that kingdom was coming down. When you lifted your hands in spite of your circumstances, and you said, God is good and God is faithful. Even though you felt something on the inside that felt like resistance, faithfulness to the word of God, while you were preaching, while you were praying, while you were worshiping, while the preaching is going forth, Satan's kingdom is falling. I'm telling you here today, if there's not a church, his kingdom is not falling, but there's still a church. There's still a worshiping people. There's still a praying people. And while you're doing the work of ministry, Satan's kingdom is coming down. You say, I can't see it. You ought to shout anyway. You say, I can't feel it. You ought to shout anyway. I'm telling you, the victory that you're looking for is on the other side of a shout. The victory that you're looking for is on the other side of intercessory prayer. The victory that you're looking for is on the other side of anointing. Preaching, while you were preaching, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the heavens. That's why we do the work. That's why we go where the Holy Ghost opens the door. I believe today that as the bishop is preaching in Apopka, I believe that Satan's kingdom is coming down. I believe that while that anointed Sunday school teacher is teaching your babies, I believe that the hierarchical structure of dysfunction and sin that's plagued your family for generations, all the kingdom of darkness is coming down. I believe that as Brother Justin opens up the Word of God in a youth class this morning, I believe that the kingdom of darkness is coming down. down. I believe that as Brother Jermaine begins to preach in that home missions church, I believe that the kingdom of darkness is coming down. And as I preach to the people in this place and on the internet today, I believe that it is the will of God to tear down the kingdom of darkness in your life and resurrect the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody praise him. If you believe it's happening right now, somebody magnify him. I'm telling you, reject the enemy, the lie of the devil that tells you they're not coming back. Baby, they're coming back. They're coming back. They're coming back. Come on, you ought to shout for a moment. If you believe it's happening right now, I'm telling you, depression is leaving. Suicidal thoughts are leaving. Anxiety is leaving. I saw Satan fall. Praise God. That's why we do the work. That's why we pray before service. We are believing that God is going to do the supernatural. We are believing, I'm telling you, I'm telling somebody here today, The days of God slaying the giant in a moment are not over. The days of alcoholism falling in a moment in an altar, those days are not over. But as long as the word of God is being opened and being preached, Brother Sam, as long as they're an anointed minstrel of God, bring me a minstrel. Bring me somebody that can push the depression out of the way. Bring me somebody that can push the darkness out. I saw Satan fall like lightning from the heavens. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, that's why we gather. That's why we pray. That's why we preach. That's why we teach the classes and do the work, because we have an expectation. The church has to have an expectation. If you don't have an expectation, what hope does the world have? I know maybe you got on your phone this morning when you woke up and you were looking at social media, trying to figure out what social media had to say about the day. But I just want to tell you, the first thing I want to do when I get up in the morning is open up the Word of God. And I want to know what God says about the day. I don't care what they're saying about. I know people are dying. I know people are sick. But I'm telling you, of the increase of His government and peace, there's going to be no end. God is looking for somebody who believes that. And God is looking for somebody who's willing to pray like that. And God is looking for somebody who's willing to worship like that. I believe it, Brother Warren. Praise God. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Binding his kings with chains and his nobles with fetters of iron. Over and over again in the apostolic church in the 2,000 years of our history, men and women of God have been faithful. I don't care what the news reports say. I don't care what the history books say. The church didn't die during the dark ages. I'm telling you, when the world was falling apart, there was always a church. They may have been hiding in dens and in caves. They may have been hiding in obscure places. But God had a people preserved that were preaching the message of the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, if you'll fall in love with the message of the kingdom of God, you're going to have revival in your life. If you fall in love with the message of the word of God, you're going to have a breakthrough in your life. If I'm telling you, if you'll buy into what I'm telling you today and you'll respond to the preaching that you hear, you can have a breakthrough today. I'm telling you, the strong man in your life can be bound in one apostolic altar call. I stood at the altar a handful of, probably two months ago, a month and a half ago, and heard the story of Kendall's father, who he had prayed for years and years. He stood at the altar and told me the story of how he came to God. He was an alcoholic for many, many, many years. He struggled with alcohol addiction, and he said he had a grandbaby that he had kind of adopted, and he took a fishing one day, and they were out on the boat and they were fishing, and she said she looked at him, she said, "Peepaw, you know, whenever you drink beer, you get angry." He said, "Who told you to say that? Did your mama put you up to that?" She said, "No. You're mean when you drink beer." And he said, "Don't talk like that. He went back to the house, and that thought, that seed thought, started kind of nagging at his mind. But come Friday, what alcoholics do is they do religiously. Like South Louisiana, on Friday night, it's gone back to the bar. One more time, back to the bar room. I'm talking about generational sin, generational dysfunction. But he's got a young man praying for him. He's got a young man fasting for him. He's got a young man worshiping when he can't see the work being done. He's got somebody believing in faith that God can do what is invisible, that God can do exceeding. He's doing the work. He's praying. He's fasting. He's worshiping. And across town, a conversation's happening with an older man and a young girl. Come Friday night, he went out again to do what he had always done. Bought the beer. He went home and drank it. And as was his custom, he started having conversation with his wife. And that conversation became violent. He started getting aggressive. He started getting angry. Because that's what alcohol does. It does its work. The work of darkness keeps on working in our lives and in our families. And as he was engaged in that argument, in that fight, he started to become violent. He started to become aggressive. And all of a sudden, he looked down on that couch where that little baby was huddled, cowering from her angry grandfather. And with tears running down her face, she said, "I told you, when you drink beer, you get angry." He got mad. He stormed out of the room and he went to the bedroom to take a shower. And as that hot water cascaded down his head, he started to weep as the water and the tears mingled together. Something down on the inside of him started to break. A reservoir of pain and anxiety and fear started to open up. And he started to pray to God. He started to cry out to God. There had been witness after witness after witness over and over and over again. And he did not respond. But those little accusing eyes with those tears running down that baby's face got into a place in his heart that nothing else could get. And the next Sunday, he was standing in an apostolic church, lifting up his hands to God, saying, "God, I'm tired of the way that I've been living. I'm tired of this fear. I'm tired of this anxiety." And I'm telling you, as he lifted up his hands, tears running down his eyes, God filled him with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and he started speaking in other tongues. He went down in the water in Jesus' name, and he came up a new creation. He said, "I just want you to know that from that moment on, I never desired alcohol again." I don't know the time frame. I can't remember the time frame. But like 8 to 10 years, he said, "I've never missed a church service, Brother Antoine." He said, "Because this is the deal. I came here and that giant fell. I came here and that weight lifted. I came here and that desire was gone." And he said, "I'm afraid. I'm afraid to miss a church service." He said, "Because I don't know. I don't know which service that I'm going to stay home from. That I'm going to be sitting in my house when the presence of God begins to move again. And that deliverance that I felt in that moment," he said, "I don't know when it's going to revisit me. That oppression, that anxiety, that need for alcohol." He said, "So I am frantic. Every time the doors are open, I make my way back into the house of God because I need the house of God to stay sane. And I need God's house to stay so." I'm here to tell you today that you're in a place today where we still believe that one trip to the altar, the giant can fall. We still believe that one moment in the presence of God. Giants giants still fall. Giants are still being slain. Giants are still coming down in an apostolic context and in an apostolic service. But sometimes what you're facing doesn't come down in a moment. Sometimes that chirological experience, that manna moment, that burning bush experience, sometimes it doesn't happen in a moment. Yes, giants fall, but sometimes we're facing giant walls. External, internal, without, within. Things that we look at and we pray about and we seek God for. Some things you've been walking around for a long time. And you're watching everybody else get their miracle. Sometimes you come back to the house of God. And you've been walking around that mountain of resistance, family, trouble, chaos in your life. And you're watching everybody else get delivered in a moment and get healed in a moment and get a breakthrough in a moment. And you don't get the victory in the moment. And there's something that can creep into the heart of an individual who is believing God and trusting God to do the impossible. You've heard it preached over and over and over again that He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that works on the inside of you. And you have time and time again come down to the altar. You prayed the prayers, you have fasted, and you have believed God, and you have sought for the answer, but still the answer doesn't come. I want to tell you today that what is born in a moment many times can fall in a moment. What springs up in one season of time can come down in one season of time. But there are some things that are built brick by brick. There are some things that are built stone by stone. There are some attitudes that are deeply embedded in your experience that you may pray and fast about it. It may not come down in a moment. Yes, David faced the giant Goliath and he fell in a moment. But Joshua faced giant walls and they stood indomitable against the word of God. He had a promise, you're going to occupy the land. He had a promise, you're going to go in. He had a promise from God, a prophecy. He didn't know how they were going to fall. But God finally gave Joshua clarification about how the walls were going to come down. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you the land. I put it in your hand and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Just because you have a promise doesn't mean it's going to happen in a moment. Just because you have a prophecy doesn't mean it's going to happen. God can put some things into your hand. But you don't possess it in the moment. You say, yeah, God said it was going to happen, but you don't possess it in the moment. God's going to give him some instruction. He said, you're going to come past the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall thou do 6 days. The people didn't have perfect clarity. The man of God had a word from God, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day, you're going to come past the city 7 seven times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. I'm telling you, you've been waiting on God to do some things, and you've been walking around walls for a long time. The first day you walked around the wall and you had great faith. The second day you walked around the wall and you had great faith. But there's something about having a word and not seeing anything happen, that in the process of time, the sun begins to beat down on your life. You start to feel discouragement. You start to feel angst and anxiety. God, when is it going to happen? Sometimes you're walking around your walls and you're looking over at your neighbor getting a blessing. Sometimes you show up on a Sunday night and you see somebody else testifying that they got the raise on the job, and you know you're still rubbing a couple of pennies together, and you're saying, God, if you're going to do what you said you were going to do, why am I still in the situation that I'm in? You're walking around walls. You see giants falling around you, but your walls aren't falling. I've come to tell somebody here today that just because they haven't fallen yet doesn't mean the word of God is not still real. Sometimes you have to hold on to a word of God even when it doesn't feel like it's going to happen. Sometimes you got to keep walking around the wall even when it doesn't make any sense. Come on, people looking at you, shouting off the top of the wall, saying, what are you doing? Oh, baby, I've got a promise. Everything's going to be all right. Come on, you've been walking for days and ain't nothing happened yet. Oh, hold your peace. I've got a promise. Everything's going to be all right. Come on, I hadn't seen it yet. Oh, don't worry, I've got a promise. Everything's gonna be all right. I'm here to tell somebody today, keep walking around the walls. Keep walking around the walls. Keep... There's somebody here today, you need a prophecy. I've got a prophecy for you today. God's about to turn it in your life, and the enemy knows it. I hear him shouting off the top of the wall. But I made up my mind. I'm not going to quit walking. I'm not going to quit believing. I'm not going to quit prophesying. It's going to happen if you don't quit. It's going to happen if you don't faint. You're going to see it.
I'm going to tell you something today, that if you understand the application of it, will transform your life. Let me tell you a secret. You want to know what people of faith do? They don't count their life from birth until death. They don't say, here's the day I was born, here's the day that I died. Because anxiety comes when you think in terms of death. What if it doesn't happen before I die? That's not how you think about it. I heard a preacher the other day talking about two twins in the womb of a mama. I heard a preacher talking about two twins in the womb of a mama. One was an atheist and one was a believer. And he said, the believer looked at the atheist and he said, you think that this is all there is? You think this is all there is? And the atheist said, of course this is all there is. Only what you see objectively is what can be known. And the believer said, but maybe this isn't all there is. Maybe there's a world outside of the womb. And the atheist said, of course there's not a world outside the womb. This is our whole existence from beginning to end. And he says, but what about the voice? What about what voice? The voice that we hear. The voice of mama.
Mama, that voice is a figment of your imagination. No, no, sometimes in the middle of the night, I can hear her voice. She's praying. She's crying. She's talking. Stop that foolish conversation. There's no mama outside of the womb. I got to tie my shoe. Can you hold this for me, please? There's no voice outside the womb. That's a figment of your imagination. No, no, I hear her. What if these legs could walk? Walk? What are you talking about? I just have this dream. I have this thought that maybe one day it's going to all make a lot more sense. I have this dream that one day I'll stand on these legs and I'll meet Mother, the voice that I hear in the middle of the night. You're crazy. There's nothing more to it than this. This is all there is. But I believe. People of faith, do not make the end of the story the last breath that they breathe. That is key. Go and read it. I don't have time to preach it all today because I'm reaching for somebody. Go and read Hebrews chapter 11. They did not make the last day of their life. That's what I'm telling you. There are people grieving, and you've been grieving for a long time over something that you lost, and it crossed over. And I'm here to tell you that if you're going to be a person of faith, you have to stop making the last day that that person breathed a monument in your life and understand that life is bigger than what we see right now. That's where anxiety comes from. That's where depression comes from. That's where fear comes from. That's the embedded knowledge that's in the story of Job. He said, listen, I'm sick. I'm in an ash heap. I'm hurting. I'm broken. But listen, if this story ends with the skin worms eating my flesh, in this flesh, what is he doing? He's stepping across where most people put the period, and he's saying, no, that's a comma. If the skin worms eat my flesh, if the miracle doesn't happen in my lifetime, let me tell you something. If I die in the middle of preaching, you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to rise up out of the water and preach to my babies. The devil may want to put a period at the end of it, but I've got a comma for him. This is not the end of the story, because even though they are dead, they're still preaching today. Come on, mama. I'm here to encourage you. You may breathe your last breath on Monday morning, but when you cross over, you're going to be dancing on streets of gold. You're going to be looking at walls of jasper. I'm going to have a new body. And when you have that knowledge, when that drives your existence, when you determine by the word of God where to put the punctuation, you understand that God can do things that transcend my life, my energy, my individual vision. That God's kingdom is bigger than me. It's bigger than my lifespan. And so there is, once that faith fills you and you live with that faith and you walk in that faith, you're not pulled down by life like everybody else is pulled down by life. But you're walking around saying, let me tell you something. Brother Kedrick, the miracle's going to happen. How do you know the miracle's going to happen? The miracle's going to happen because either way, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if it doesn't happen right here, as soon as I cross over, I'm going to be made whole. Amen. You say, well, I'm struggling with an addiction. Yeah, baby, keep on struggling. Keep on fighting. Keep on praying. Keep on walking. Because as soon as you cross over, you won't have any more tears. You won't have any more pain. You won't have any more difficulty. God is going to make all things new. Keep on struggling. Keep on fighting. Keep on pressing. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Giants fall. But don't forget, there are giant walls. You just keep walking. Keep on being faithful. Keep on believing God. No weapon that forms against me is going to prosper. I'm going to keep on marching around this thing. I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on being faithful to God. It's what I told Dawson when he came back, when he came to Birmingham. In the first couple of weeks that he came to Birmingham, he was messed up from a bad experience in his life. But I told him, I said, one thing you need to do. You need to make up your mind that no matter how bad it gets, you don't ever stop coming. So when I told Josh Raposo when he came here, coming running from a bad situation, I said, listen to me. Ask either one of them. I told them the same thing. If you will keep coming, God will take care of it. I'm talking to somebody here today. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been here, and you're trying to figure out how to make it work. I'm telling you, there's a giant wall in front of you, but you just keep coming. You just keep praying. You just keep doing the work. And either way, if it happens here, then praise God. But if it happens when you cross over, either way, you win. Either way, you've got the victory. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. God's going to bring it to pass. God's going to make it happen. God's going to do the work. God's going to save your family. God's going to make it all better. God, by and by, when the morning comes, come on, I'm telling you, I'm looking forward day by day to a great getting up morning. I'm looking forward. Anybody still looking forward to the rapture? Come on, anybody still looking forward to the weightlessness of no more sin, no more addiction, no more pain, no more suffering? I don't think, I'm going to make this last point. Brother Sam, you can go ahead and come. I do not think when God comes to heal somebody, he's looking for faith the way you think he's looking for it. I don't think that in the moment that the preaching goes forth, you say, I've got faith, I believe. I've got to increase their faith. No, no, no. When Jesus went to the pool of Bethesda, he went to a man that had been laying there for 38 years. 38 years. Broken. He wasn't asking that man to perform. He wasn't asking that man to jump through hoops. But God knew that for 38 years, why did the Bible say that he must needs go to Samaria? Why does he go to a well and find a woman who's had broken relationship after broken relationship after broken relationship? I keep trying. I can't get this marriage thing right. He went out of his way to go to a place where somebody had been trying over and over and over again. I keep coming back, God. I didn't give up. I wanted to quit, but I didn't quit. I could have thrown in the towel and given up on marriage. I didn't quit. I did everything I knew to do, God. I was faithful. He comes to that place. He's not asking them to jump through a hoop. I've been watching you for 38 years, walking around your wall. Do you want to be made whole? Yeah, I really do. I want it to be better. I want it to change. I want to be different. Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. Well, man, every time the angel comes and troubles the water, somebody else, they get a breakthrough. Yeah, I know. I've been watching you. Every time the water's troubled, I get all of the energy that I have, all of the strength that I have. One more time. And you know, the older I get, the less strength I have. It seems like the older I get, the further back in line I am. But you know what? I don't know what else to do. This is all I know. This is the only hope we have. This pool called Bethesda. You know, I wonder who it is that you've been doing this for a long time. You've been, when I say faithful, I don't mean perfect. But I mean faithful like that woman at the well. You would say, well, she's not faithful. Yeah, that's what the law would say. But God doesn't see through the lens of the law alone. He also sees through the lens of grace. He also sees through the lens of somebody who keeps trying relationships even when they don't work. They don't give up on people. They keep going back because there's something on the inside that has a longing to be loved. There's something on the inside that has a longing to be accepted and to be received. So she keeps going back relationship after relationship. And he's standing at the well and he's told her, hey, the thing you've been looking for, it's right here. The thing you've been dipping for year after year after year is standing. I'm telling you, the one is standing here today. Jesus is here today. The one who can love you in a way that nobody else could love you. This is what you've been looking for the whole time. Come on, let's dance. Come on. You don't know because you don't know me, but I've got a scoop I can scoop with. I have a reservoir of water. As a matter of fact, I want to clean you up. I want to get your life together. I want to put a robe on you. You know all those ceremonies you've been having? All those things you've been engaged to? All those marriages you've been engaged in, trying to find something to satisfy? I'm the one you've been looking for the whole time. Come on, I'm the one who can give you water to drink. That if you drink of this water, you're never going to thirst again. There are some deep places in God that God wants to give us that will satisfy the longing in our soul. Praise God. I keep coming. I keep coming. And every time, somebody else's giant, somebody's diabetes, somebody's cancer, somebody's marital problems. It seems like I'm watching everybody else get the answer. Yeah, but there's somebody in this house today. There's a spirit in this house today that is the omniscience of God that understands. He framed you and he formed you in the womb, and he has a plan for your life. Come on, why don't you stand today? Let's all lift our hands to heaven and talk to that God. Come on, I bring you Jesus today. Come on, I bring to you the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me introduce you today to your husband. Let me introduce you today to your lover. Let me introduce you today to the one who has water for you to drink. Come on, come and drink today. Why don't you come and drink today? Come on, if you're in the balcony and you want to come and drink, this altar's open. If you're on the floor and you want to do business with God today, why don't you make your way to the front? Who knows? Maybe this is the day. That's it. Somebody talk to him right now. Somebody talk to him right now.
You perform miracles.
This is where the answer is today. This is where the miracle is today. This is where the breakthrough is today.
And we're standing right here because you move mountains, you cause a wall.
Make a decision today. I'm gonna keep on coming. I'm gonna keep on praying. I'm gonna keep on being faithful, God. My walls are coming down. Come on, I'm talking about the walls in somebody's heart. I'm talking about the mistakes you've made. I'm talking about the fear that is generational. It's coming down. It's coming down. Trying to put a period on the end of the sentence. Somebody needs to take a Holy Ghost eraser and say, that's not the end of my story. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. That's it. Find somebody to link up with in the presence of God for just a few moments. Find somebody to link up with.
You cause walls to fall. With your power.
The Holy Ghost is doing a work all over the house. Come on, I need an intercessor to pray an intercessory prayer right now. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I take authority, God. In the name of Jesus, I take authority. Every principality, every power, every high thing that seeks to exalt itself above the knowledge of God.
I'm not afraid.
you what the Holy Ghost showed me. This is how it works. On the Sunday night, your last service, you take that last tithing check and you drop it in the offering plate. You pray at your last prayer meeting. God's faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. You step out of your pew the last service you have, and you lift your hands to heaven and you say, God, you're worthy. You come down to your last altar call and you put your life on the altar one more time, and you put your marriage on the altar one more time, and you put your family on the altar one more time. Last service. And then Monday in the middle of the night, you check out. And you check in. You say, but I got business. No, 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 no. You are the under shepherd under the great shepherd. Brother Terrell, it's not your business. It's his business. They're not your kids. You say, well, I'm worried. No, no, don't worry about your babies. You're going to pay your last tithing check. You're going to worship and pray, and you're going to shout, and you're going to lay your life down at the altar. And in the middle of the night, when you check out and you step across and you're in heaven, the work will be finished. Why do you think people don't come back? Because you'll have perfect knowledge. You'll see the fixation that God has with your babies. The thing that's keeping you up in the middle of the night, you'll see that he's more concerned about that than you are. The thing that's stressing you out, the sickness, the disease, the anxiety, maybe the proclivity that you have, the thing that you haven't gotten right, and you're carrying this guilt and this shame around. No. He said, cast your cares on me. I care for you. You weren't made to carry it. Your job is to be faithful. I'm just going to keep walking. I'm just going to keep walking. No matter what happens with COVID, I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to do everything I know to do, and I'm going to lay my head on the pillow, and I'm going to sleep a sweet sleep, because I know God's got it all in control, and my life's not over after I leave here. Got it. He's got it. He's got it. It's going to be all right. Mama, it's going to be all right. Daddy, it's going to be okay. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Just keep walking. Be faithful. One more time, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Let's love Him. Praise God. Praise God. What a faithful God. What a great God. Praise God. God bless you. Love somebody around you. Share your strength and your faith with them tonight. We're going to reconvene for another apostolic service at 6. Our prayer meeting at 6. Apostolic service at 6:30. God bless you in Jesus' name.